Well, we know it's Mother's Day, and I always speak on Mother's Day, but I'm doing something a little different today. Some of you guys, as you came in, we had a little gift for you. If you're like, I didn't get a gift, and I'm a mom, it will also be available for you when you go out. So if you're like, I came in, I was working, I didn't get what we want to make sure you do that. If there's a mom that's not here that you're like, you know, I'm related to them or something, whatever, grab one for them. I don't care. Like, we just want to bless moms, right? Yep. So I want to just share something for moms today, but it's for, I would say it's almost even more for dads. Yes. And kids. Yeah. You don't know what it is yet.
I don't. That's what I'm afraid of. When she says that, watch out.
So we were at a bonfire last week, and it's like all dirt, and Matt dropped a hot dog bun on the ground, and I hurry up and picked it up. I said, I'll take that one. Moms, you all know, you all understand that's who we are. Yeah. And Layla goes, she's like, she looked at me, she's like, Mom, you don't have to do that. I'm like, it's okay, I don't mind, it's just dirt, you know. And she goes, I always felt bad that throughout her whole life, you always did that, like as a mom. Like if something fell, if there was not enough, you know, if it's a small, moms just, we do that. Nobody asks us to, we're not falling on a sword, it just is natural for us. And I said, don't worry, because you're going to do that too when you become a mom. So you'll get your dirt one way or another. And I just thought about all of you moms here today, and I want to pray something over you. Go right into Proverbs 31. So if you have it on your phone, if you're sitting next to your wives, kids, if you're sitting next to your mom, I just want you to grab their hand. And if you're like, I don't really like to hold hands, I don't care. I didn't ask you that. Just do it. Be out of respect. Because I want to pray this wife of noble character. Because, you know, wives become moms. That's what God created them for, right? So some of us are waiting to be moms. Some of us are moms. Some of us have lost our moms. So Mother's Day is always, you know, when I was sitting here, the Spirit of the Lord just came on me. I just began to weep because God, I said, God, he said, this is how moms are feeling today. Moms, we all know Mother's Day is not joyful. It's joyful for our kids. It's joyful for our husbands. They want to do this stuff, but it doesn't feel joyful in our hearts, does it? It's pressure. It's burdensome. And God said, I'm going to let you feel what the moms in here are feeling right now. And I thought, oh, so for you guys, I want to pray for you. Because you know what? I know that it's in the husbands. The reason I want you to come alongside is because moms take care of everything. And they lay their life down for their household, for their children, for their family. So husbands, we need to you to be, like it says in God's word, and lay your life down for your wives. Because nobody else is doing that. Jesus did that for all of us, but I'm saying it's your job. If you're saying, I need something in our family, in our household, for our children, that will happen when you lay your life down for your wife and take care of her. So that's how I want you. And if your wife isn't here, or if, you know, we got some women working, stand in the gap if you're the child or the husband that is in here and they're working or doing that. Stand there as we pray this over them, okay? So just hold on to their hand. Believe this, pray, because there's some really, it says, a wife of noble character, who can I find? She is worthy far more than rubies. So Lord, I thank you. Every woman in here is far valuable than any riches on this earth. Lord, her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. So when I'm saying this, put your spouse's name in that as you are believing this, okay? She brings good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works and with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships bringing the food from afar. She gets up while it is still night. She provides food for her family and portions for her family, her female servants. She considers a field and buys it. Wisdom. Thank you that you, thank God right now that your wife has wisdom. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants the vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. Lord, we just thank you that these women, that they are working day and night to profit their family. They are serving. I thank you that specifically over them. Whew. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linens. And her husband, here we go, husbands, this is where you are. Her husband is respected in the city gates. Your respect from people comes from your wife. So as you're laying hands on that, if you're like, I don't feel respected, start respecting your wife. Start caring for her and providing for her. It will bring honor to your home. I love that. Where he takes his seat among the elders of the land, she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She clothes with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor for her all her hands have done, and let her work bring her praise in the city gates. Amen. Go back. If you want to do something for moms today, go back and say, you know what, I'm going to speak it for myself. I'm going to pretend to be Matt. But Sarah has wisdom. She has faithful instruction comes off her tongue. She watches the affair of our household. Speak that over your wife. You want to do something for her? Yes, cards and all that is great. Flowers is great. But you know what? Build her. That's what you can give moms. And right now, you see, it feels heavy in here because we're like, this is what we've wanted. Things are great, but we want to be built up. We want to be cared for. We want, you know, husbands to protect and come alongside of us. It changes the course of generations. If you want to be honored in the city, take care of your wife. All right. Like I said, Mother's Day is always heavy around here because, you know, we don't put on a fake smile. But I just wanted to pray that over you because that is, when we come into Christ, that is the type of woman we are. That's not even my message. That's just for you moms because it's heavy. So guess what, dads? Take care of your wives. It says, husbands, lay down your lives. Start laying down your life, your time, your finances, your likes, your hobbies. Everything comes after her. Take care of her well. Take care of her well. If you're like, I need my needs met, you take care of your wife, it will naturally happen. I guarantee you, I can show you that. We see it in God's word. It will happen. If you have a lack, husbands, in your life right now, go and say, wherever I have lack, I'm going to give a double portion to my wife, and it will actually bring that into my life. That's what you can do for moms. Some of you are moms right now. Some of you are pre-moms. But you know what? Lay hands on the womb. Bless that womb. You know, that's what God's going to do. You know, he said, I made the barren woman to keep house. So if you're like, I'm not a mom yet, that's fine. But you are predestined to be a mom. He said, I called that out before you were even knit together in your mother's room. He already knew, women, that you were created to be moms. That's good. Can I give you guys a fun tip, too? Yeah. This is a medical tip. So any of you that had girls, you carried half of all of your grandchildren in you. Because all girls carry the DNA while they're in your womb. So you didn't just as a mom carry your kids. You carried half of your grandkids. Isn't that cool? Talking about generations. And do you know when a baby is in the womb, it actually releases cells to the mom. And it actually brings health to her for, I think it was like 7 or 10 years later. Because those cells are released while you're carrying your child. So your children actually blessed you. You blessed your parents. You see, God made it generational. He did all of those things. I mean, science is awesome, too, because God created that. Like, you're thinking, it proves him. Come on. So I always say, I said, I had two girls, so I'm like, I got to carry my grandchildren and my children. It's pretty cool, isn't it? I love that. All right, well, hope you guys are blessed by that. Your kids are making some fun things. They just are excited to bless you, Mom. So you still get the weird, crazy stuff that kids make for you. That is awesome because it's spelled wrong and backwards. And it's so cute, and you keep it forever, and it makes you cry and all that. My youngest made me cry because she goes, "I got something for you." She brought me flowers, and it was from my mom's garden. And she said, "I know you love flowers, and I know it's hard when you've lost your mom, you know." And so she did a whole arrangement that was from, because they bought my mom's house. So everything that my mom actually did every year, I had those same flowers at my house. And I was like, that is amazing. And it just showed me, like, how God is generational and that he takes care of you. So, like, do those things for your moms today. All right. Would you guys like to have a word about being unburdened now? I would like it. Lord, give me double portion. Oh, Matt, can you pray? Help me out.
Father, we thank you for this day. God, we thank you for your kindness and your love towards us. We thank you, God, that your spirit is here and it is working and it is mighty. Mm-hmm. And we thank you that our hearts have, hearts are open to receive what you have to say, God, and we don't just ignore what you are saying, God, but we are receiving it. We are open to it, God, that it changes our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right. Okay. I might be able to get it together. If I can't, y'all can just do what you need to do. All right. So I want to talk about being unburdened. God kind of gave me this word, and he said, I want you to do it on Mother's Day because it's just a burdensome time. You know, some of us are expecting to be moms. Some of us have lost children. Some of us have lost our moms. And it's just some of us are estranged from our moms or things like that. So it's just, it's kind of burdensome. Some of us are like waiting to be that Proverbs 31 wife. Some of us are waiting for our husbands to help us in that, to take care of us. And it's like burden begins to just weigh us down, doesn't it? So I'm like, Lord, we need to be unburdened. We need to put that burden back to who? To him. He's made to carry it. We're not. So if you're in the middle of these character building seasons, how many of you guys are in the middle of a character building season? How many of you say it's fun? I'm looking for the crazy ones. It doesn't matter if you're in the middle of a character building season, whether you created it. Some of us build our own. We make it ourselves, don't we? We make some hard choices. We do some things that it's like, well, I could have just not went. I spoke a couple weeks ago about Joseph, and I said, you know, when we're in that character building, like, let's learn and hear from God so we don't have to go to the pit and we don't have to go to the prison to build our character and our relationship with the Lord, right? But sometimes we end up there. Sometimes things that we've created get us there, or lack of things, and sometimes it's just thrust upon us. Sometimes, you know what? We don't know. You know what? You don't know if you're going to get sick. You don't know if you're going to lose your job. You don't know some of these things. And it's like, okay, I'm in this season, and I did not do anything to choose it, but I'm still here. So I want to bring back that word, remembering to dwell in the presence. Psalms 91, we're going to read it. We're going to go through the whole thing, because when we hear the word of God, faith comes by hearing, and hearing what?
The word
of God. The more we hear that, I'll tell you, it becomes, because we can only give out of the overflow. So if we're getting just enough for us, we have nothing to give away. That includes for our spouse. If you're thinking, I wish I was that Proverbs 31, or I wish I was being that husband, it's like, it's not, you're not bad. You're getting enough for you. Now, excess, so you can have overflow, so you can give it away. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's what we want to do. So Psalms 91, it says, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of Almighty. How many of you guys want to rest?
Yes,
I love rest. Whew. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare. So think, what's catching me up right now? What's catching me up? And from the deadly pestilence, what poison are you allowing? Are you allowing the poison of people's words, thoughts, ideas into your mind, into your household? I'm never going to be, I'm just not good enough, or I just can't do that. It says, he will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield. God is always faithful. Nothing can penetrate his shield of faithfulness, can it? Nothing. In Rampart, you will not fear or terror the night. If you are afraid, God says, it doesn't matter what you're afraid of, that he's going to shelter you from fear or terror in the night, nor the arrows that fly by day. It doesn't matter what accusations and attacks are coming after you. The Lord says, get in here, dwell in here. Nothing can penetrate this. This is my fortress. I am the refuge. Come on. That's what they used to do. Do you guys understand? In the cities, they used to have these outer walls and stuff, and it's like when bad things would happen, everyone would run in the city, and then they would barricade the walls, so it's like you're safe in there. That's the way it is in the presence of God. He's like, it doesn't matter what accusations, attacks, or all these things that are coming, get in here, dwell in here, you are safe. It says, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness. It doesn't matter what sin keeps trying to hunt you down. Some of us have same sin that just, it's like, I'm not going to do that again. And the next day we find out, we're like, why am I doing this? And he said, I'm coming for that. It's not going to get to stalk you anymore. It doesn't get to harass you. It doesn't get to do that. It doesn't get to live in your mind, in your thought. It doesn't get to accuse you anymore. He's saying, I am going to keep that from you. That's good. That's good. Nor the plagues that destroy at midday. Whatever's come to wipe you out, he says, I will give you life in its abundance. Amen. Doesn't get to come wipe you out. He doesn't make to, you know, destitute. Doesn't get to do that. He's saying you come in here. It doesn't matter what's coming after you. It's not leaving with you. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Not that it won't touch you. It won't even come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands, and you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. So if you're like, I'm already drowning, he says, that's okay. I will rescue you. Say, I'm already in danger's way. He says, I will protect you. For he acknowledges my name. He will call on me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. With long life. Who wants long life? Yeah. Come on right here. With long life. So when the enemy comes and says, I'm coming to cut your day short, you said, I don't think so. God said, with long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. When the enemy comes knocking, if you're in fear, no, you got to run to the house of God. You got to run to his presence. You got to get in worship. You got to know what his word says. Because if you don't, the enemy's going to come. He's going to give you some lies. He's going to put fear in there. He's going to stalk you down. He's going to come after you because that is what he does. Get in the presence. Dwell in the presence. It doesn't just mean on Sunday. It means on Monday. It means on Tuesday. It means on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Every single day we got to be in the presence. Start it with worship. Pray. Whatever you got to do, get in the presence of the Lord. He said, there is protection there. If we choose to step out of that, you know, God's like, I told you where protection is. I told you I'd take care of you. That's good. So if you're going through it, he says, get in my house. Get in my presence. Dwell there. Don't just visit there for an hour or two. He's saying, dwell there. Do you guys know what dwell is? You live, you're there, you're doing all the things. You wake up, you sleep, you eat, you drink, you work, you live there. That's how we need to be. I really want to hit this home because it's like when we're struggling, we can go through it with joy. Or it's going to be terrible and it's going to get worse. I mean, yeah, until we submit. And if we choose not to, God's like, you know, he still wants to love us. He still wants to bless us. I've seen so many people rebelling against God, and he keeps blessing them. And they can't even see it. I'm like, you're living rebellious and terrible, and God's still blessing you and taking care of you and providing you because he's a good God even when we're not. Yeah. Whew. Dwelling is the key to anything you need that ails you. Any ailment you have, body, soul, spirit, dwelling is the key. Dwelling is the key. You know what? Sometimes you go to a lock and you can't open it because it's jammed. There's something in there, usually something stuck in there, like an old lock. You know what? You know what that is? That's pride. God just said, take your pride, let it fall down. That's the biggest thing that keeps us from entering the presence. Get rid of the pride. I feel like that was specifically a word for some today. If you have to take that mindset and literally do a prophetic act, remove that pride, whether it's in your mind, whether it's in your heart, do it. Who cares what people around you are thinking? You know, oh, what do they think about me? You're the one that has to go back and live your life every day. I'm not going to care what someone thinks about me for 5 seconds. I do that all the time whenever, I mean, you've probably seen me during worship. Sometimes God speaks to me. He's like, you had a wrong thought or you had a wrong mindset about, remove it. Prophetically show me that you understand that you're hearing from me, and I'll take that and I'll do it. And then sometimes God will say, cover your head just to remind me what is covered with the helmet of salvation. Do you see what I mean? God speaks to you because he wants that. It's like, if I'm embarrassed that someone's going to be watching me or looking at me, it's like, no, he's doing that for me. He's showing me how to dwell. So if God says, lift your hands, I want you to give it to me. Give it to him. Sometimes during worship, I'm like, everything that's in me, get rid of it and bring what you want. I'm like, pull it out. Because I want to dwell. Because anything you need that ails you, that torments you, that bothers you, that enslaves you, when you dwell in the presence, it chases off fears. It makes depression flee. Depression is not welcome in the presence of God. So when we're in there, it has to flee. Every lie is arrested at the gates of the kingdom. Right? Because lies, God does not tolerate lies in his kingdom. You know, so moms especially, but this is for everyone. We got some burdens. We got some different burdens. Mine might look different than yours, and yours look different than mine. Yours might be heavier. You know? A 2-year-old's burden, it might feel heavy to them, and you're like, you know, like works, they're upset because they lost a paper. And we're like, it's a paper that you scribbled on. But to them, how would we feel if we lost our phone or our wallet? Do you know that that paper might have the same value to them as something that is valuable to us that we think is valuable? So their burdens might be different, but they still got burdens. So we all have burdens. So some of us have some really heavy burdens right now. Some of us are like, okay, I got some burdens. I can still carry them. We got things we need to do, things that need to get done. You ever realize when you make a to-do list, no matter how many things you scratch off, like things just appear. It's like the never-ending list. You're like, where did those come from? Like every time I make a to-do list, I'm like, every time I scratch something off, 20 more things show up. How does this happen? We got to get some things done. You know, our bodies, our souls, we get tired. Right? We're like, I can do this. At the end of the day, we're just tired. Sometimes this happens because our own self-sufficiency. That is hard. Moms, I am really talking to you. Because we think that we are super moms and we can do everything. And we become self-sufficient. I'll just take care of that. I'll just do that. You know, you know what I mean? This morning, I gotta talk up my husband. He did good. So this morning, I'm like, I just really want the house clean before I go so I don't have to worry about it, okay? So he gets up. He's got his dad's joke book. And he starts saying it to Lana. He turns to me and I said, not right now. I ain't about that this morning. I'm about having my house clean. I said, so if you want this day to go good, I suggest you figure that out. I look over. He's cleaning stuff. He's doing without asking. I was like, good job. Good job. He's like, I better do something. I was like, I don't even. One dad joke comes out. It's all going down. You did both. But, you know, he realized You know, what she needed was domestic support at that time. Because I think I can do it all, and I plan it all, and I put it on my calendar, and I'm like, I can do this. Then I'm like halfway through the day, I'm like, what did I get myself into? Self-sufficiency, our own striving sometimes. And then sometimes we just get a hand dealt like Job did. How many of you guys have ever had a Job season where you're like, I'm doing everything right, and if I do it right, it gets worse. And you're like, Lord, I don't want to move. Like, I'm not even going to twitch, Lord, because every time I do, you know what I mean? If you haven't been in one of those seasons, Lord, say, Lord, give me wisdom that I don't have to ever be there. So sometimes it's our own things that we do, and sometimes we just get dealt that hand. But Jesus never said these troubles, these trials, these tribulations, you know, would stop. He didn't say that ever. But he did offer us an invitation. Okay, so this is where we get. We're like, okay, you're going to get saved, and probably just as many terrible things are going to happen, and hard times are going to still go on. You're still going to have to go through things. People think, well, I'm saved, it should all be good now. He never said that that's what it'd be. He kind of actually said the exact opposite. Kind of funny how we forget that. We get selective hearing of what we want to hear. But I'm going to open to Matthew. Actually, I'm going to read off this because I don't have it in this translation. So if you want to go, Matthew 11 is where, I'm actually not going to read off this, but it says Matthew 11, 28 through 30, because I'm going to read out of the Passion, I think. It says, are you tired? You don't have to answer that. Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me. Do you guys love this? Get away with me. So if your kids are hanging on your legs and they're just driving you nuts, that happens. It's like, sometimes I just say I'm going to the bathroom. I don't even have to go to the bathroom. You guys ever do that?
Yeah.
Last night, I'm like, I need to go to the bathroom. I just sat in there for like 15 minutes. It was good. I'm just like, I just want to sit here. I don't have to go to the bathroom. But it's like, that's the one place. So maybe you're like, you know, maybe you're having a hard time. You just keep telling your kids you have to go to the bathroom. Your kids are like, what's wrong with mom? I just need to get away. He said, get away. So that all the distractions are kind of there. God's like, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. That is so good. You get away with him. Everything that's been stolen, that's been mixed up, that's been just going wrong, he said, you're going to recover that. You recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Anyone who's a mom, you're like, when did you last sleep? Well, how old's my child? My kids are like, now you don't have to worry about me. I remember when Layla got married, she goes, you don't have to worry about me because now I'm married. I'm like, do you think that I still don't wait up, and if I know you're not at your own house, that I'm wondering where you are? That never stops. It will never go away. So some of you guys are like, I can't wait till they're 18. It doesn't get better. It doesn't get better. So he's like, I'm going to show you how to take a real rest. Even moms. Do you guys know that? Even moms. This word is meant for you too. Even moms. I added that, but you get what I'm saying. It says, walk with me and work with me. We're servants of him, aren't we? All of us. So he's saying, walk with me and do the work that I'm doing. Which is what? What are we supposed to do? Spread the gospel of Jesus with people. Okay, we need to test more. Maybe God just has you moms in your rest right now. Real rest. But no, he's saying watch me, work with me. Watch how I do it. If you're like, I feel like everything in my life, I'm trying to be a good mom, I'm trying to be a good dad, I'm trying to be a good person, I'm trying to, you know, do this and it's just not working. He's like, well, then just watch me. And do what I do. We're going to play Jesus Says, not Simon Says, okay? Whatever I do, the movements I make, you move with me, well, that's what you need to do. He's like, if you do it, I'll show you how to do it. Learn the unforced rhythm of grace. Isn't that good? So if something feels maybe forced, do you think maybe it might not be from the Lord? I didn't say not hard. I said forced. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Isn't that good? That he says he's not going to lay anything heavy or ill-fitting. That means if we have something that's too heavy, who do you think picked it up? We did. And we have to put it back on him. I got what you're saying. You're saying God's carrying it. He's meant to carry that. But if we feel that overwhelming, I'm not saying, so there's sometimes that I'm like, Lord, I just want to feel your heart. And he, you know, it's a very short time because I can't carry it very long. He's like, just in that moment, I was like, I want to feel how the moms felt, just in this room. And I thought, you feel this for the whole world. And I was like, oop, okay, like 30 seconds, Lord, that's about it before you kill me. You understand? He said, I'm not going to lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me. And you'll learn to live freely and lightly. That's so good. Bookmark that. Put it in there. That's so good. I think that's the Passion Translation. So if those of you are like, I want that translation. Message translation. Okay, I can't remember. I didn't write it on here. I didn't write it in my notes. Message. It's not the Passion Translation. It's the Message Translation. Jade, help me out. I like that. I can't remember. Sometimes I look at so many translations when I'm writing. I'm not sure, so. Yeah, so good. Because the world, how many of you guys know the world is stressful? Like your jobs, going to school, you know, coworkers, family. If you've got a family, you're like, amen. They don't believe exactly how I believe, and I want them to believe exactly how I believe, and I'm mad at them because they don't, even though we both love Jesus. We're going to fight about that. It's too much. Do you believe in Jesus? Yes. Do you believe in Jesus? But you know what? I like red and you like blue. That's it. We're going to fight. Split in the church. I'm done. We laugh about that, but that's what's happening in the kingdom, unfortunately. The world's stressful. There's lots of laboring with very few rest times, right? Yeah. If you work a job, they're like, we would like you to work 365 days. We'll give you 5 days off. Does that sound fair? And those days, you're going to try to put them in and we're going to deny them multiple times. But we don't understand why you have to take sick days, because why are you getting sick? Because there it is. They don't want to give you rest, right? No days off from life. Parents, their kids do not care if you are sick, if you are tired, if you are depressed, if you are down, if they have needs, they're coming to you and they're like, meet them. You're the first representation of Christ, meet my needs. You know? That's why God made grandparents. I don't feel good. Grandma, right? Yeah. Grandma, grandpa. Here. There was times I'm like, take it. Just away from me. Just walk. Just take it, walk away, come back later. If you haven't felt that as a parent, I'm going to pray for you that you get to feel it. We do feel that as parents sometimes. We also really love our children, love being with them, you know, things like that, and love just teaching them about God's word. You know, and it just there's a lot of stress, and we all have different stressors. We went around. Some of you guys may be like, I have no stress at work, and some of you be like, oh, my gosh. Some of you guys are like, my house be crazy. I don't know how to get it from this to this back on the straight. You know what I mean? God's like, don't worry. I know how to get it back on the straight and narrow. There's been seasons that our marriages suck. There's been seasons we've been terrible parents. There's been seasons we've been terrible with our finances. There's been seasons that we've had sickness. So if you're like, well, we're the only ones going through it, you're not. You're just probably, guess what, we're more focused on the season we're in than the season someone else is in, because we're supposed to be focused on our walk with the Lord, not someone else's walk with the Lord, right? So we're all in it. We realize I'm stressed, I'm tired, depressed. And we end up turning to things like caffeine, alcohol, drugs, prescription and recreational, food, TV, hobby, shopping. We try to get relief, right? We're like, this will give me, if I just sit here, I'll get relief. Oh, you ever been death scrolling, they call it? Yeah. That doesn't give you relief. It like makes you stay up 3 more hours. And you're like, now I'm tired. More tired than I was. We think it's going to it's just going to calm my mind. No. It doesn't do that. It doesn't work. Yeah, it's just, you know, you might have it for a laugh, but then you're like, now I didn't do anything I was supposed to do all day long because all I did. If that ain't a tool of the enemy sometimes. I'm just joking, but kind of partially. But none of those things work. They might give you that little hit of dopamine for a second, right? But peace will still evade you. You'll need more. You'll need more. You'll need more of that. It'll be more constant. You'll have, you know what I mean? None of those things are going to bring peace. They might give you a very little momentary relief, right? And then what happens is now you need more. Now you're in a worse spot than you were before. How many of you guys have ever had any addictions to anything? Yeah. I'm not talking, and don't be like, oh, well, I don't want, you know, it could be things like food. It could be TV. It could be, you know what I mean? It doesn't have to be, you're like, I don't know, who cares if it's not what we think is. Guess what? Things that we think are worse than one the other, God doesn't. It is still the mindset where we are turning to someone or something else besides him. Yep. And we as humans want to judge and say, well, that's a worse thing to turn to. And God's like, it all looks the same to me. But they just don't work. Peace only comes from who? Him, our creator. He's the Prince of Peace. John 14:27, it says this. It says, peace I leave with you. Talking about you, all of you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. So he gave it to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. So all those things we talked about, he's like, I'm not giving you that. I'm giving you real peace. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. He said, I'm giving you this. And guess what? No one's allowed to take that. He gave it to us. It's a gift to us. The enemy tries to come in and steal it and rob it, but we can go back and say, you know what? This is a promise that God gave me. He said that he would give me peace. That's good. Because it can't come from a bottle. It can't come from self-reflection and meditation. It can't come from any of that. Me and Layla went and got massages when we went for her birthday. And it was more hilarious than peaceful. And the lady's just like hitting on me, like, and I was like, okay, well, you know, I should know how to speak up, shouldn't I? Because I'm a massage therapist. I went to school for that. But I'm just laughing. She's like, that's good. I'm like, it's fine. Like, whatever. And like, Layla's nice. And I'm just like, whatever. I don't care. Just do whatever you want. She's like, okay. She's like ripping the whole thing off. I'm like, okay, well, so now I'm just nudist here. And she's like, you roll over now. You know, like, it was supposed to be relaxing, and but it was peaceful for us, because we were just laughing. We're like, this is hilarious, you know. Did I burn you with that rock? Just a little bit. Just fine. We're okay. And we just bust. I'm trying not to laugh, and but we still had peace, even though, like, it was supposed to be, like, we weren't trying. The massage didn't bring us peace. It was the Spirit of the Lord that was there with us. We did that for her birthday. So that's what I'm talking about, is those things, those like, well, this will bring peace to my life. This will help me relax. Not help us relax. If you want to know the full story, come see me, because it's funny, but it's probably not church appropriate. I mean, it's not terrible, but it's funny. But it can't come from those bottles. It can't come from all of those things. Peace comes from dwelling with our Creator, with our body, our soul, and our spirit. Do you know that he never tires of us? That's good, because I don't know about you, but I can be annoying. People have told me that a lot. And someone might not have told you, but I'll let you know, you can also be annoying to somebody. If you are a husband and you wear your shoes in the house after your wife asks you not to a lot of times, you're annoying. Tell you that. Kids, if you don't pick your room up and you don't pick stuff up after your parents ask you a lot, you annoying. See, we all got annoyings. Moms, we're annoying when we are literally, you ever seen those like videos of like that, they're making fun of the moms, like, I gotta clean my house, I gotta, you know, and they're like, someone comes in, like, nobody cares if your baseboards have dust on them. We don't care. It took me a long time to learn that. But you know what I mean? Like, we're annoying. We're like, can we just sit down and relax? And we're like, grab it, worried that someone's gonna like go in our closet and go through back. I found a dust bunny back here. No, we all are annoying, but I mean, this wasn't a sermon about being annoying, but it kind of went there. But He never tires of us, no matter how many times we do that. He's always waiting to share his wisdom and his truth. He's waiting to give us power, you know, to those who feel defeated and powerless. He's like, I got that. I'm ready. Here we go. And you're like, I did dumb. And he's like, it's okay, I got truth. I did dumb again. I got wisdom. It's good. He's just always ready to give you the answer in the good thing, isn't he? I spilled water on my Bible. Can you give me a piece? Trying to keep nice things. That's where I annoy myself because I can't. How many guys can't keep nice things? You see people all dressed nice. I bring an extra shirt every single week to church because I know who I am. And you know, now that I've done that, I haven't spilled anything. Yeah, I keep it in there now. Shoes and a shirt, that's what I'm doing. But you know, it's just so good that he's always ready. We receive this gift when we dwell, when we intertwine, when we bask, when we soak, when we wash ourselves with the word until it becomes natural action in our lives and it becomes our lifestyle. Then our lifestyle becomes our culture, and our culture is grounded in Christ. If you're like, I'm not doing that yet, wash it with the word, wash it with the word. Listen to podcasts. Where's Noah? Is he here today? He's not here today. You're Noah. Where was he? Oh, well, he's in the back. Come on, Noah. But he said, I got this job. He's like, now I'm listening to podcasts and I'm hearing the word all the time. And it's just so good. And you could see his countenance and his spirit was just built up. Because we went to dinner with them. If you guys didn't, like, with that last night, everyone went to their friends around the table, which was awesome. But I thought, there it is. He didn't have enough of the word. And now he's like, I'm just putting it in. You know, I'm there 8 hours a day. I can listen to the word. Fill it up, fill it up, fill it up until it becomes action in your life. John 16, 33. Let's read that. You got something? Okay. You had?
Just add a word on that.
Okay. Bring it up here. Bring the word. Come on. Don't we say nothing embarrassing. You know, all those things.
The Lord just showed me this like 10 minutes ago. I was writing something and he was telling me. So you were talking about having troubles and stuff, and it talks about how there's going to be troubles, but take heart, I've overcome the world. I feel like the Lord said, he didn't say you will continue to have troubles, period. You know, nothing else after that. He said, you will continue to have troubles, but good news, I've already overcome it, and I will be with you and walk together with you through them, and I will always use these things for your good when you're walking in step with me. When you're in continual relationship with me, when troubles come, it gets easier and easier each time we walk through it together, and you'll begin to gain my perspective when each child comes.
Come on, that's a good word. Can you post that also in the WhatsApp? That was really good. He's saying, I'm going to walk with you. It's come. I already have the answer for that. Exactly. Come on, that's good. What did I say? John 16:33. All right. When I have told you these things, am I in the right one? Yeah, okay. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have trouble. He ain't mincing words. He's like, I'm going to bring you peace. The world is going to bring you trouble. I'm letting you know. It's going to bring you trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Come on, just like that word she just gave. The church's like, hey, you're in trouble, it's okay, because he's already overcome it. He already knew this was coming. He's like, well, I already have every answer, every truth, every wisdom regarding this situation, this season, this time, what's going on. That's good when we look and say, this is terrifying. When you say, this is terrifying, Jesus, what are you going to do? Not, this is terrifying, what am I going to do? Jesus, throw it up to him. Help me. If you weren't crying out to Jesus for help a lot, that's probably your problem. I cry out to him in the littlest things and the biggest things. Because he said he carried them all, so I'm going to be like, if you want to carry them, right? I'll let you. Philippians 4. Let's start in 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition. What do you need to be doing? Praying. Asking God to come through on his promises. That's a petition. You're saying, Lord, I need this. And he says, okay, Got that. I'm gonna come through for you. With thanksgiving. There we go. Thank you, Lord. We teach our kids to say that. We need to say it to God a little more often. Present your request to God and the peace. So when you do this, when you what? Pray, petition, and thank Him. Thank Him. Then you get what? And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ. You get peace when you do those things. He said that's how you access the gift. Talk to me. Require me to be good on my promises. And don't forget to thank me. Don't just be a whiny baby coming to me all the time. Right? How many times your kids, what do we say? You need to say please. You need to say thank you. When they come, don't whine. She was quick with that. Don't whine. That's the thing I said. You know, don't whine. Like, I can't hear you when you're crying. And I feel like God says that to us. I can't understand you when you're sobbing so much. Can you just calm down? Tell me what you need, because I probably have it for you right now. Lesson, don't be a whiny baby to God. Okay? Grow up. We all want to be mature, but then we come to Him. It's like, do you want to be a baby or do you want to be mature? Do you want to get the benefits that a baby has? Because there's not that many, right?
Right.
I want mature benefits. I want to be able to have peace. I want to be like, as when you're an adult, you get to make choices. You can choose when you go to bed, when you fall asleep. You can choose what you want to do with your money and go on vacation, do this. Babies don't. They eat and sleep and poop and cry. That's where they are. I want to do more than that. Okay? How many of you guys want to do more than just eat, sleep, poop, and cry? Because if that's the goal of your life, we got some issues. Sometimes we need to do all of those things. But that should not be the goal. Yeah. What?
We need to do them, but not just that.
Yes. Yeah, we still need to do all those things. Oh, man. Did I finish that scripture? Yes. So. Let's see. I like it in this. It says, I'm going to read it, and I think this is the message. Check me, Jade. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers. Letting God know your concerns before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. We're going to pray, actually.